Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino getting you ready for what you're about to hear tonight, which is going to be our live Survivor Know-It-Alls from the world-famous Caroline's on Broadway in Manhattan. And I am back home to record this here in New York with a big crowd. And I think you're going to really enjoy the show tonight for episode 2 of Survivor Cambodia. So lots of fun stuff planned for that show. Before we get into that, let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at Harry's. And Harry's brings you fine, affordable razors that give you a fantastic shave. Because you know what? You can get a great shave without spending a ton of money on razors. And that's what the people at Harry's are up to, because they are sending you the best in shaving supplies. They sent me a bunch of great stuff, shaving cream, face wash, all sorts of high quality products that you get from Harry's to shake up your typical morning routine. So stop spending money on those expensive razors and get both quality and value with Harry's. Harry's takes shaving so seriously that they own their own factory for razor blades in Germany so that they can oversee exactly what you're getting. For the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast, Harry's is giving you $5 off your first purchase of a starter set with a coupon code RHAP. Enter the code RHAP at checkout. You can get a Harry's starter set for just $10. That's a month worth of shaving with the shaving cream, with the handle, with the blade, just $10, RHAP. And as always with Harry's, the shipping is free. So say goodbye to choosing between expensive brands or cheap disposables. Say hello to Harry's high quality blades at a price you'll love. Go to harrys.com right now. Enter the code RHAP at checkout. Get $5 off your first purchase. Get a month's worth of shaving for just $10 with the code RHAP at checkout. That's harrys.com. Use the code RHAP.
Though Steven is not around, you still have to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
That's right.
Woo!
That is right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Caroline's on Broadway for Live Know-It-Alls number 3.
We did it.
I don't know if you guys can hear this on the podcast, but we got a huge crowd here tonight. Let them hear you on the podcast.
Yes.
It's a big crowd. It's a good
crazy.
Crowd.
It's crazy.
I'm here. Here with Josh Wiggler.
Yeah, Stephen Fishback's cousin.
Stephen's cousin is
Stephen's
here.
Cousin. Like Stephen, but shorter and chubbier. Like, and never played Survivor 1.
That's like your Twitter handle?
Yeah, that's my new Twitter handle.
All right. So we've got so much to get to. A great episode tonight. Really, really a lot of stuff to talk through. We got a lot of a big crowd. We've got a lot of survivors here. We're going to hear from them later on tonight. We're going to hear from you guys, get some of your questions the way I want to do it tonight. I know that the internet reception is a little spotty in here, but if you can tweet questions, use the hashtag KIA Live. Eliza, you'll have your chances.
Woo! If 2 minutes in and an F bomb.
Okay, if it's not working, we'll get a line and we'll sort of filter through the question. We'll do that at the end of the show. Okay, so that's what's going to go on with this. But let's get into talking about this episode. Of course, the for those of you guys listening on the podcast, The Whole Works is coming. We'll do exit interview with Shireen on Thursday. Plus, I'll talk with John Carroll on the full recap podcast of this episode. But Josh,
Johnny Pots and Pans, you couldn't get Sean Rector for Shireen?
No. Well, I don't know the boot order.
Okay.
So let's go into talking about this episode. And Shireen goes home. Very sad to see Shireen go home. At least from where I'm sitting. Josh, did Shireen do anything particularly wrong tonight, or was this just a case of this is a threat, this is somebody who is playing hard, we have to take her out?
Yeah, I think it's a combo. I mean, I think she says it herself in the final words. She's owning, she says, I killed myself out of this game. I did things wrong. I didn't do things right. I think that we see it with Abby, even though the fight is between Abby and PG, somehow Shireen is the one who's blown out of the water on that, and she's more offended by the fact that Shireen didn't comfort her. So I think people management, I think that if you talk to Shireen, we'll both talk to Shireen tomorrow. I think that that's going to be one of the top things that she says is, I didn't manage my troops. I didn't manage Abby. And she missed a pivotal moment to bond with somebody who was really hurting. And Terry Dietz, of all people, the social Terry Dietz, the social game is alive. And he's the guy who swooped in. So good on Terry. And I think Shireen would say bad on me.
A couple of themes that I noticed emerging in this episode. There was a lot of whatever happened, happened. History repeats itself. And there is this through line. And good on Jeff for picking up and remembering the past. Again, it was Survivor 28 and 30 that he's remembering.
Doesn't have to dig too deep.
I don't know if
that.
He's going to remember, like, if PG is doing something the same as the last time.
I don't think he'll remember if PG is doing something different from last.
But that being said, Jeff is the person that keys in on this. Spencer, this is just like day 12 when you're sitting there at Luzon. Hey, Tasha and Cass, keep me, not Jatia. And he's sitting there in that same spot as he was before. And again, with Shireen in that position of there's a conflict and a rescue. And I don't know if it's quite apples to apples, but there is this narrative of these second chancers are having the same things happen to them again. Are you buying that? Or is that just convenient storytelling?
I think it's a little bit of convenient storytelling, but it's hard to deny that's a very similar situation as what happened to her. Is Shireen felt isolated. She felt like she didn't have a friend in the world out there in Worlds Apart during the final stretch of the game. And here it's happening again with Abby. It's very ironic. You see it that way, I'm sure.
Yeah, the Spencer thing a lot more so than the Shireen thing. I think that with the Shireen thing, I think there's parallels, but I don't think it's quite the same. But it's funny how Spencer, and we talk about Spencer always in these terms, of it's either ecstasy or what's the opposite?
Right, I think this time it was
agony. Yeah, the agony and the ecstasy for Spencer. He's high, he's getting ready to kick that football, and it's always pulled out from him.
Yeah, it was frustration and exasperation this time versus ecstasy and devastation. I don't know if this is an upgrade or just an analog.
Poor Spencer. Could anything ever go right for him for more than a day?
Yeah, the young sad.
It's always looking like things are like, young sad. It's going to hashtag.
Hashtag.
Yeah, it's always looking like things are going to go well for him, and then all of a sudden he just gets the rug pulled out from him, and certainly he's saying...
Episode 2 is a rough spot for the young lad. It really is. It's not good.
That second tribal council.
Yeah, that's tough. That's hard.
That's where it usually goes
wrong. At least
he
knew it was coming going into this thing. Like, he had a little bit of time to prepare for it. He knew that he had to vote for Shireen, but he cried. We had a weepy Spencer. It's very new. It's a new speed.
Only Chaos Cass on her Survivor pool had Spencer crying by episode 2.
For very different reasons.
Yeah. So that was an interesting theme of history repeating itself, and I'm sure that we'll talk about that some more tonight. But there was this other through line, which I noticed between the two tribes of... Is this a bunch of gamers playing a game, or are there real emotions going on? And even Cass, of all people, saying like, hey, I thought it was just going to be coming out here for this is people, everybody, you know, don't hate the player, hate the game, people playing the game. But then, and we'll talk about that certainly in regards to Andrew and Steven. But going back to this other piece with Abby Maria, this wasn't just a game for her. This was real emotions, and this was Terry came to her rescue. She doesn't care about the numbers. She cares about who was there for her. So do you think that was it a mistake to come into the season for players like Spencer and Shireen to think about it's just a game, and maybe Steven to that degree, where there are people playing with emotions, or is that just for camera? And is that people just saying that it's different than it actually is?
Right. Well, I think you get it in the episode when they're talking about, I forgot that Survivor sucks. Like, I forgot that coming out here, like, you remember the good stuff. But, you know, you get back out here and it's hot and it's muggy and you're hurting and all of this stuff. And that's what everyone's saying. And I think that they forget about the emotional component as well. And I think with an All-Star season, when we've seen All-Star seasons in the past, everybody can just really get into game bot mode. Everyone can play the numbers, play strategically, play all of that stuff. And I think that we're seeing a decent amount of that, but I think that there is an emotional component that maybe... Certainly Spencer came into this wanting to do that. We saw that in the first episode. Mm-hmm. I want to have more conversations in my first 3 days here than I had in all of Kageyan, and it seemed like it was going really well. But in this one, he's the first to admit, I screwed up. I've been talking only strategy to a lot of these people. So I do think a lot of people have forgotten about that, and I think it's a balance, and the balance did not tip in Spencer and Shireen's favor. What did you do you think that they're playing too hard, too fast?
It's hard because we haven't seen everything. Like, one of the things that I had said in the preseason was, I said, Shireen and Spencer, this is a red flag for me. Will this be the new Max and Shireen?
Yeah.
Will this be the new Max and Shireen? But we didn't see that on the show. That's fan fiction to say that that was necessarily the case, except from coming from Jeff Varner, that he seems to pair them together. But we didn't see too many scenes of them going off or alienating themselves from the group. Spencer talks about how, I'm not going to keep making so many alliances. I'm not going to keep doing that. So I guess that is happening, but it wasn't something that we really saw clearly on the show.
Well, I think that you see it in the fact that PG and Wentworth, who seemed really tight with them, were kind of willing to just, you know, give the shrug emoticon very quickly and just say, well, we got to move on.
Yeah, that
was quick. We gotta get going. We got to make a new thing. So it must have been clear to all these people, unless you're saying you think that this is a Jeff Varner fabrication, that Varner is the guy who's writing this narrative.
I don't think it's a fabrication, but it is. Jeff Varner had said in the preseason that he wanted to target Spencer, and we were very quick to say, boy, Jeff Varner turned on his pregame alliance pretty quick. But we saw this week that he did double back and come back to them. And he didn't quite throw the baby out with the bathwater, where he was fine to pull the trigger on voting out Vetus last week to avoid that tie vote.
It was a lesson. He wanted to teach a lesson.
I'm not buying that. That seems very fan fiction-y to me. That I only voted that way because I needed to teach Terry a lesson. And this was
It seems like it worked, you know?
It did seem like it worked.
It's catching on.
All right, there's so many different parts of this to talk through. Let's go back to the Abby Maria thing, because one of the things that you've always talked about, where you have always proclaimed your love for the Keith Nails, for the Woos,
for the
wild cards that are out there, the people that you have to figure out how to defuse the Abby Maria bomb.
Yeah.
That Abby Maria bomb exploded on seemingly PG, but it was Shireen that caught the shrapnel.
Yeah, she got the radiation poisoning.
First off, how did PG escape being the person that Abby Maria looked at as the object of her scorn?
That's a great question. Do you have an answer? Because that was shocking to me, that PG was able to rebound from that so fast. And I think that PG's very smart. She sees where this is going and tucks herself in with Varner. I think Varner sees her as very valuable. And I think that it was really just a matter of PG recognizing which way the wind is blowing, and she's smart enough to get away from him. I'm more impressed that Abby is willing to cast her lot in with PG.
I really was not since Jervis and Joel in season one, and Jervis said that women are the dumbest thing since cows, and Joel got voted off for that. Has somebody been able to sort of shirk the blame on somebody else?
Yeah, it's good. So you were impressed with Abby last week.
Yeah.
How about this week? How are you feeling?
Well, you know.
How are you feeling about that?
Not great. But I will have to say, you know, Abby Maria did walk up on two people talking about her. I mean, I don't know what kind
Ninja
of
stealth mode
restraint you wanted Abby Maria to, like, PG and Shireen are talking. It's dark. You can't really tell where they are. But Abby Maria's like, guys, I am right here.
It is amazing.
I am right here. I am right behind you. Like, oh, no. Oh, no. Worst case scenario. Yeah,
literally, I heard everything you said.
Yeah. You are dead. Yeah.
You're dad
busted
to me.
Yeah. So Abby Maria then sees, and then Abby Maria goes off. But I guess the worst part is, okay, they were talking about Abby Maria. That's bad. But then compounded was that they're in the majority, and then they're talking bad. They're making fun of Abby Maria, where then they're giving the opportunity for the people on the bottom to go back and say, hey, just so you know, we're on your side. Everybody's making fun of you. We're not doing it.
Yeah, and to your point about the bomb, I think Abby is an interesting player to me in that she's volatile and susceptible to that kind of charm. For Terry to swoop in that moment, to have that conversation, have a two-hour sit-down with Abby, is not going to work on every player who's got their feelings hurt. You know, someone, you know your feelings are going to get hurt on Survivor, and a rational, strong player is probably going to be like, oh, this person's trying to sucker me into a deal that might not be so good for me. But for Abby, she's willing to roll with it really, really quickly. And I think that that's the type of player Abby is, and that's a really dangerous, unpredictable element. And I think that's a big part of what makes Survivor fun. So I love having a player like Abby around.
One of the things that we've, because Josh and I have recently watched all 30 seasons of Survivor. Has anybody listened to that?
Don't remind me.
And one of the things that we talked about, sort of like when it was over, like, did we learn anything?
Nothing.
And, but I do feel like one of the biggest things that we took away from going back and watching all of Survivor, it's like, sure, there are times where people are able to get together based on numbers. But it seems like in Survivor, and probably also in life, the thing that is the most persuasive is the emotional argument. And for me, Spencer and Shireen specialize in these conversations based on the numbers.
Right.
They're talking about the numbers. Hey,
the numbers loophole.
You vote. Yeah, numbers loophole. Yeah. I figured out the numbers. I've been thinking about this. You vote for us. Three vote this way. We'll get those two. You guys vote for us. We'll have the majority. But what worked here with Abby Maria was not the numbers. Abby Maria does not care about your numbers. Yeah. Abby Maria cared about the emotions of who was there for her. I can't believe you turned your back on me. One of the things that bonded us was that in your season that people had your back, and that the fact that you didn't have my back for Abby Maria, she didn't care about the numbers. It was the emotional argument. And good for Terry, who was never able to make an emotional argument in Survivor Panama.
This is not his thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Good for Terry.
Yeah.
Good job by Terry being able to work with Abby Maria, and Varner gets an assist there, and they're all able to work with Abby Maria. And for those guys, they really were able to turn things around where they were down in the numbers, specifically for Terry and for Wu and for Kelly Wigglesworth, who was hardly seen in this episode.
How about Wu just saying, no, man?
Yeah. Well, how about the great...
Sorry, but no. No.
As Spencer or Shireen was working on Wu, Wu was giving us like a great like Alec Christie face.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. What? Whoa.
Me?
And he's like, no way.
Yeah.
No. Whoa. How about no?
Yeah.
Like, Wu, come on.
Yeah, but now, that's not really Wu. Wu will always like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, let me think about it.
Yeah.
But I thought it was fascinating about that scene with trying to persuade Wu to get back on their side. Woo-woo.
Hashtag number two.
Woo-woo. Yeah. I think it was really fascinating to try to get him that it seemed like it was Shireen that was the person selling to Wu, where Spencer has this 38-day backstory with Wu from Survivor Cagayan. Don't you think that was weird that Shireen was the one in the driver's seat and Spencer was in the back seat letting her drive?
Well, I mean, it hasn't worked too well every time Spencer's tried to talk to Wu before, so may as well let someone else have a shot.
That's right.
You know? Let someone else have a shot.
You're saying Spencer was like, have at it.
Have at it. Try it.
It's
not going to work.
Good luck.
I've tried. What do you think about this from Varner's perspective? You know, Varner was in a position last week where he... First off, Varner is incredible.
Yeah.
Honestly...
The survivors are chanting for Jeff Varner.
Jeff Varner is proof positive that this idea for a season was phenomenal. Bring back the people from the past who did not get those shots, who were not, you know, not enough slots back in All-Stars, and are we ever going to see a guy like Jeff Varner again? Bring those people back. They're not all Jeff Varner, but Jeff Varner's incredible. So talk about it from his perspective, because Varner was, you know, he was the guy who was into KO. He's got the beach people. He's got the shelter people. He could go one way or the other. The shelter people were his people from before the game, according to what he told me, Dalton Ross, Gordon Holmes, everybody in the pregame. He turned his back on them last time. He is back with them very eagerly on day four, morning of day four. He's ready to switch right back. From his perspective, was this the right call to swing back to Terry at Wigglesworth?
I feel like Jeff Varner is in a really good spot right now. Probably even better than the spot he was in at the end of the last episode.
And you don't think that this makes him look too shady? Just a little
bit? Well, certainly I think that I think that's been the story about him from the get-go, of that he is in this great position. He's so revered by everybody. Will he overplay his way out of this game? That's my concern.
He's balls
with,
to the wall.
With him. Now, will it, like that crab or whatever, bite his ass eventually? Right. But for Jeff, I feel like that coming out of last week's episode, he was at the bottom of a Shireen, Spencer, Kelly Wentworth, maybe PG, Abby Maria thing. He was at the bottom of that. Now he's not. Snowy says
Michael Snow.
Jeff Varner is not a bottom.
Wow.
So now he's able to now flip that around this
the
week.
Night is made.
Flip that around this week. And now he's at the top of something with...
There you go.
Stop. With Terry. Yeah.
With Terry.
Him and Terry are there in the better position in the alliance. And then you also have other people there with Kelly, with Wu, with Abby Maria. Now, that's all going to change next week based on our preview. But coming out of that tribal council, I think he is in a better position than he was coming into this episode on day 4.
Right. And I guess when he started making those moves and he starts saying like, well, Terry, this is what I'm trying to show you. And he starts to kind of, you know, get his way back in good with those people. I thought that the majority of these beach people would be, you know, turned off by that. But very quickly, Wentworth says to him, I'm not talking to Shireen for the rest of the day. You won't see me having a conversation. So I thought that it might be received poorly by the people that he had been in an alliance with. But the further along that day got, the more and more these people seemed open to that. I would have thought that would have been a major turnoff.
I think that there is still a lot of anybody but me going on for these players, and especially the people that are not really there to sort of push the pile themselves, the people like Kelly Wentworth, like PG, are sort of like, oh, it's not me? Okay, fine, I'm good with whatever you're going to do. Just don't turn around and vote me out.
Yeah.
Let me stay.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is this comment from Varner about Shireen setting the pace of the game. You know, she set the pace of the game with the Vetus vote, and Spencer and all those people who voted out Vetus, the pace has been set, and I wanted to show that to Terry. I wanted to show that to Wigglesworth. And, you know, we talked about that last week on Know-It-Alls. Do you clip Vetus? Is that the guy to get rid of? And that's a really big threat. If you're Spencer, you're saying, like, come after people like me. And it turns out that that's what this tribe turns right around and does. When you still have Abby hanging there, she's an easy vote to snip. And now we're coming after someone like Shireen, who, to her credit, is really great with the numbers, who knows the strategy, who knows the show and knows the game very well. She kind of rolled out the red carpet for herself to get sniped.
Okay.
Sucks.
Let's just go back to that last vote last week where we felt like the new school people, you know, got the jump on the old school people. They took out Vetus, who was with them, because Vetus was a threat. Hindsight 2020, was it a mistake to vote out Vetus in that spot?
For Shireen, yeah!
Why?
Because I think what I just said. I think that it set the pace, it set the tone, it set who we're coming after, it set why we're coming after people. And I think for Shireen, who's not the strongest challenge competitor necessarily, except when it comes to puzzles, and even in this one, it didn't go great. I think that she is somebody who is targetable at this stage of the game. And I think that when you're going after threats, but you're looking for reasons to hang on to people, if you're weighing a Spencer and Shireen, I don't know that everybody is predicting necessarily we're going to 3 tribes next week. I don't know that that's something that everyone is thinking about. And if we're thinking about preserving challenge strength, now we got to take shots at Shireen. So I think that she did set the pace. I think Spencer set the pace. I think, you know, I hold to what I said last week, that if they are going after someone from the shelter people, you should go after Vetus because he's the gamer, he's the manipulator, he's all of this stuff. But I do think that for Shireen, she's at the pace.
And I'll tell you, hindsight's 20/20. If they go with the Vetus plan and vote out Abby Maria last week, they still have the numbers,
yeah, exactly.
5-4. And I don't think that Shireen is voted out because the Abby Maria thing doesn't happen.
She hit the gas, which just bit her ass.
Yeah. So again, hindsight's 20/20. You couldn't have known what was going to happen, but you play with fire when you have an alliance with Abby Maria. And it's one thing when you're down in the numbers and you need her, but just look at how Tan Dang worked out. Keeping Abby Maria as one of your numbers, yeah. It's sort of...
Not like they had the chance, but...
It's good in the short term, but she's one of the reasons why people in Survivor Philippines didn't want to work with that group, because they didn't want to be around Abby Maria because she was too toxic of a person.
So you know that that cast picture at the Worlds Apart reunion?
Yes.
And how you on the podcast, you were talking about Sierra's next.
Sierra
was
next.
The line because Vetus was in the first boots.
Yes.
Who's right in front of her one row down?
What do you think? It's going diagonal?
It's going down.
It's going diagonal?
Shireen was next, and I think Wu is in front of her.
Okay, we'll see. Now, I don't think it goes diagonal.
Final destination.
No, it's a straight line down. We've talked so much about what's going on at Takeo. Let's talk about Bion. Were you guys happy Steven didn't get voted off tonight?
Yes.
All I'm going to say is that guy is lucky that he is on a tribe with Joe for a lot of reasons. That is
Survivor MacGyver.
That is one lucky guy.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Look.
We got the notice. We were warned.
Yeah, all right. Eliza is heckling us. Okay. All right. Well, you'll have
your
chance. You'll have your chance to talk. Okay. So, with Steven tonight, of course, that he was a big part of what was going on. We didn't see a ton over on the Bion Tribe, but there was a whole segment where I was a little confused about what was going on. Andrew Savage started opening up his heart and telling this story about his wife, and I was like, oh my God. Did something terrible happen to Andrew's wife?
Yeah, I was watching with Rob.
I'm like, oh my God.
He's like, did she die?
Is she sick? Did something happen? And the punchline of the story was that he misses her? I just want to make sure I got that right. Was that what happened?
Yeah. Could have gotten really dark.
I was like, whoa, oh my God. They took me on such a ride.
Yeah, it was.
I was like crying. I was like, oh, she's okay. Okay, thank goodness.
It's dramatic.
But again, so it was a great edit tonight for Andrew Savage and what's going on. And Jeremy was certainly upset about what was going on because, you know, his wife Val is home and she's pregnant. And so, very nice times for Jeremy and Val. And so Steven ends up saying to Andrew, hey, Jeremy, think he's looking for the idol? And so Andrew's really like, can you believe the nerve on this guy?
Fishbach.
Talking about Steven Fishbach.
Fishbach.
Typical Fishbach.
Classic.
Talking about looking for the idol. Now, the irony of last week where we saw Steven out, only for a minute or two. He just happened to be looking for the idol. And it was Kimmy Kappenberg that said about Steven, hey, you think he's out looking for the idol? Where was the admonishment of Kimmy Kappenberg last week?
I know. Hey, it's on the editing room floor somewhere.
Yeah, this speaks to what kind of person Kimmy Kappenberg is. Somebody with low morals, somebody with no values, somebody with no loyalty, somebody with no dignity.
One of Savage's people. Yeah.
Was that a cheap shot from Andrew to say that? Okay, Steven is looking for the. He's looking about the idol. Hold on, let me talk. Let me talk, Eliza. But it's one thing to say that. Boy, that this Fishback, this guy is this guy's a real smarty pants. We should get rid of him. But to say that he has no dignity, was that a bridge too far? All right.
Whoa!
Easy.
And Max Dawson high fives Eliza.
Easy. So we know. Yeah. So why did the wine
New York
and cheese alliance is here
together?
In full
why
force?
Did she supporting Stephen Fishback? Yeah. No dignity. That's low.
No dignity. No doubt.
No
right?
dignity. No doubt. Yeah.
Another half.
Stephen's got dignity.
Yeah. So for Steven, really in a tough spot here with this group to bring up, hey, do you think that that Jeremy is out looking for the idol? Now, what do you think about Steven trying to throw some shade at Jeremy, trying to put the target on him?
I think that's the wrong guy. I think that Jeremy seems in really good with Savage, and I think that Steven knows that he's in a tough spot on this tribe, that he is surrounded by people like Jeremy and Joe and Savage and Keith, who are really getting along. And I think to throw Jeremy under the bus in front of Savage is probably not the play.
Is there anything that Steven could be doing at this point to get in the good graces of Andrew Savage? It seems like no matter what is going on, Andrew has it out to
Andrew
get him.
Savage read the Survivor Wiki on Steven, and he's out on Steven. I don't know that there's anything he could edit the wiki.
Should Steven have edited the wiki?
He could edit the wiki, but I think retroactively that's not really going to work.
Yeah. Boy, Steven is
really...
I don't know.
It's tough. I feel like, you know, first impressions are hard to get past. And from the jump, these are two people in the pregame who, you know, there were interviews with these guys. It says, who would you target first? Who do you want out first? Savage says, Fishbach. And Fishbach says, Andrew. So these two people were out for each other immediately. I think that that's a hard thing to turn around. These aren't necessarily simpatico personalities. I think it's going to be difficult. I think the great news for Steven is that these tribes are no more pretty soon.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think we've been really worried about Fishback because it's been a rough two episodes. It is not looking like he isn't. Chaos Cast looks fantastic next to Steven Fishback. That's crazy. That's insane. But
Cass is looking pretty good so far.
She's looking great.
There's been nothing to imply that Cass is going home anytime soon.
This is a very positive edit for Chaos Cass.
And Chaos Cass was even the one saying, like, boy, I thought these were all going to be game bots, but we're really being emotional. Like,
I'm going to be a good person, said Chaos Cass episodes before she betrays all of them.
Yeah.
Obviously. But I think that, you know, for Steven, he's been in a really difficult spot in this tribe. He's obviously low man on the totem pole with these people. And I think for similar reasons that we're seeing a Vetus or a Shireen targeted, I think that whether or not it's true there, everyone's looking at Steven as this enormous threat strategically. He's got the people reputation. He's got know-it-alls. He's got all of this stuff. He's thought he was a finalist. They don't remember the final tribal council, but he was a finalist. Yeah. And he's got a big reputation, and I think people are really worried about him. And there's a reason why it's a compliment in its own way, but it's very good for Steven that things are about to switch up, because if Bayon is very strong, if he stays on this tribe, it's not great news. So for things to switch up, this is the best news that could have happened for Steven. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, this is a lucky break for Steven.
Really great, really great.
You know, I'm sure at some point there'll be a commercial that'll totally reveal what the three tribes are, like tomorrow. Yeah. But we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully he ends up getting a good draw. Were you surprised? I was really startled to see, okay, oh, here's a puzzle. Here's where Fishbach is going to shine, and he's going to be in on the puzzle. That he wasn't in the starting group on the puzzle.
Right.
He wasn't one of the people to volunteer to do the puzzle. If you're Steven, is it best to try? Was this a chance to have that hero moment, or could he only have put himself in worse graces with Andrew? Is it like a no-win situation where if they win without him, hey, I don't have to go to tribal council. If they lose and he's part of it, then it makes it even easier to vote him out.
Yeah, I don't think that there's much benefit to Steven stepping in there. I really don't. I think that, you know, he's on a tribe with a lot of people who are really eager to play the challenges. I think let those people win or lose. And this also seems to be a tribe that isn't going to be, you know, we're not throwing challenges. We're not saving Kelly Remington. We're not doing that. You know, we're playing to win. That's what a Savage does. That's what a Joe does. These guys are playing to win. And I think that he doesn't feel like these guys are going to, you know, tank this thing to get rid of him. So I think that, yeah, just sit back and let it go. What do you think? Do you think Steven should have stepped up?
I mean, I feel like that Steven, what his value proposition for his tribe is sort of like, hey, I'm the guy who's good at puzzles.
Yeah.
Right? I think that you would want him in there.
Is that what he says? Hi, Steven Fishback, good at puzzles.
Yes.
He never introduced
ladies
like
out
that
there that met him at the last one, isn't that what his opening line?
Yikes.
But
revealing.
I know. I feel like that's what if somebody's looking at him, okay, if you're not going to be one of the people that's going to be our athletes, then are you one of the... Yeah, right, Eliza. So now Eliza's even turning on Steven.
Eliza, you think that...
I'm turning on Steven.
Yes. Eliza turned on Steven. Yes. Okay. All right. So anything else before we jump into talking to some of these people that are here?
No, let's do that. Let's... Okay. They came all the all right, way here, right?
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this a little differently, okay? All right, I've got, where's Alex? Where's Alex? Over here? Okay, all right, so keep my timer going. I want 4-minute intervals. I want to start doing some cycles through here. And so here's what I want to do. Okay, Max, I want to talk to you first. All right, Max Dawson is here. All right, let me, give me a cue when 4 minutes is up, okay? All right, so here's Max Dawson. Max Dawson, everybody. Woo! Can you get that mic on? You got a mic?
Alex, turn off the timer.
Yeah, no, keep that timer going.
Turn off the timer.
All right, so Max, of course, that you were very close friends and also alliance mates with Shireen beginning in Survivor Worlds Apart. You saw her play tonight. Did you spot anything in her game that you thought was a flaw, or do you think that it was just bad circumstances?
Shireen played the exact same game that she played in Worlds Apart. Unfortunately, she didn't have Joaquin to win the second challenge for her. That could have been her in Worlds Apart on day 6 if we had not been able to pull things out in that water challenge. Shireen comes into the game so charged up to play hard. And I knew this time in particular, she was coming in with a real burden of proving herself. I'm not just someone who was voted back in because I was famously victimized on the show, but I'm a player. I'm a gamer. She went in there looking for a scalp. She got probably the biggest one available to her in her tribe, and it immediately put her in the crosshairs. So in terms of, you know, history repeating itself, for me watching that, it was like a slow motion car wreck. and feeling the stress. I'm like, no, Shireen, don't do it. Just play Under the Radar, please.
Did you give her any advice before she went back out there to say to her? And you were in the mix also. A lot of people don't remember this. You could have voted for Max Dawson to go back on Survivor.
I remember.
Yes.
I remember.
Oh, no, I didn't give her any. I'm terrible at Survivor. I would never give anyone any advice on how to play.
Yeah, were you in on potential conversations with her about, okay, well, these are the hit lists, or was it, were you guys planning on saying like, hey, this is going to be bad news for both of us if we reconnect in this game?
Oh, of course. We knew immediately that we would have to keep a wide berth from one another. I didn't really think I was going to be out there, so I wasn't that worried. For me, the biggest concern was that she would end up with a Fishback or a Spencer, and she would just fall right back into that loop.
Did you see anything that she could have done differently this time around?
I just wish she could play Under the Radar, but she can't. That's why Shireen got cast in the first place. That's why she got brought back. Shireen is aggressive and over the top and irrepressible. That's why I love her. That's why we all love her.
Yeah. Yes.
Except Dan. Dan, of course, hates her, but... sorry, Dan. I love Dan. And... But no, Shireen needed to play Under the Radar, but it is not in her nature. And Shireen is one of those people who, if you had her play Survivor 100 times, she would play it the same way 100 times. She doesn't have it in her to play any other way. And it's not because she doesn't understand the game. It's, Francesca, same thing. Because you're that person. And it can go any way. If the circumstances are right, you go out the exact same way you went out the first time you played. Shireen didn't get a chance to get that far, but I'm as much as I love her, I wanted to just say, Shireen, did we not learn anything first time out?
Wow, harsh.
Yeah.
It's tough. Harsh.
Tough stuff.
Not harsh. I mean, just being real.
Max, you went out to Survivor, very loud, Mike. You went out to Survivor, Professor Max, you're known for being somebody who teaches classes on Survivor, huge super fan. Before you even went out, you were known in that capacity. You go out early, you go out fifth?
Fifth.
I'm so sorry, Max.
Don't screw it up.
You know, Shireen is somebody who also is a huge Survivor fan, somebody who loves this game. Now she's coming back as an all-star, coming out pre-merge. Tips for her, coping mechanisms, anything like that?
Shireen just needs a break. Shireen's played Survivor for a year.
It was too soon.
Too soon, yeah. Definitely. For any of us. I mean, not Joe, because Joe belongs out there. He's Survivor MacGyver. Joe should be playing Survivor right now when no one else is.
Haven't there been like five Survivor MacGyvers? Like, I mean, how many different Survivor MacGyvers have there been? Hunter Ellis?
He is a Survivor MacGyver.
That has been, Ozzy. I feel like that we've used Survivor MacGyver.
Who's the Survivor MacGruber?
Yeah.
Jason.
Dan?
Dan.
Bless your heart.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So 4 minutes are up, Max. You stay right here, okay? Woo! All right. I want Bryce Isaiah up here. All right. Let's get Bryce. The freakiest freak. Get him over here. Okay.
Okay. Hey, how are you, man?
All right. Oh, hold on. Let's get that bar mitzvah shout out also.
Oh, yes. Alexandra, happy bar mitzvah. Welcome to Know It Alls.
Yes, yes. Okay. All right, Alex, let me know when another 4 minutes go by, okay? Bryce is here. We've got a nice round of applause for everybody loves Bryce. Now, Bryce, now you got to know Spencer very well from the other side of things tonight, that he could have been the other person to go home. What did you see from Spencer tonight? Because he was very upset, and again, things are not going his way for the young lad.
I think a lot what happened with Spencer is he kind of went the Donald Trump route.
get a little closer to that mic.
As Survivor at the Tribal Council, when his, like, Spencer for president, like, he went ham and saying, I'm going to do this. I'm here for... Ooh.
Let's make Survivor great again.
Sorry.
Keep Spencer around.
Yes, yeah, Spencer. You know, Spencer
Let's
went
build
in.
A wall between yes. our tribe and their tribe. Yeah. that's funny, though, that Spencer.
Yes. He's going to clean their bathrooms.
Yeah. So for Spencer to see things go bad that quickly, did you notice anything different about him this time around than the first time in how he's starting off the game? Because we all know from that Kagyan premiere when he's in good with Garrett and then the rug comes out from under him and then he's like, I guess, welcome to the bottom.
Correct. I mean, I think he played very similarly. Like, I wanted him to stick to his word and be a little butterfly and come out and speak to people. But Spencer couldn't do that. He kind of had to go right into strategics and really kind of play hard. So it was kind of hard for Spencer. But, you know, again, he came out, he went to Tribal and really fought for us. I was super proud of him.
Bryce, you and Spencer were at Jatia's wedding. Did he weep openly when Jatia got married?
The wedding.
I think we all did. We all did a little bit.
But this is a new side of Spencer that we're seeing on the show. He's emotional, but it's usually because he's frustrated or angry about something, or he's excited that he won something. This is a very different side of him. Is this consistent with what you know about Spencer in your personal life?
I love Spencer. Spencer's very sensitive, very emotional, I think, in real life. I don't think we get to see that part of him. So I think this is a very acted depiction of Spence.
Now, I don't know how well you know Cass. I'm assuming you know her at least somewhat well.
Yeah. I know Cass.
Do you have beef with Cass? Are you on good terms with Cass?
Me and Cass are on great terms.
I know Max doesn't love Cass.
Cass.
Yes. All right. But that being said, when she talks about how she's going to be playing this game not as a game bot, but as a person who's an emotional person, do you feel like are you buying that?
I mean, I think it's only a matter of time before Chaos Cast comes out. So,
but she's been really good so far.
She has been, but I feel like the circumstances are a lot different. She doesn't have a Garrett on her tribe. She doesn't have somebody provoking her as much. So I feel like she's doing good so far, you know?
Are you surprised that Tasha and Cass have been able to get along so far in that tribe? We've seen no sort of dust-up. And you would think they would show it to us if there was anything going on between them.
Well, you know, Tasha is prayed up, so you know that the saints in the heaven above are really watching out for her. So I think Tasha and Cass, you know, God has blessed them, and, you know, we're good for now.
Was that a mistake? Should Spencer have spent more time praying before the season started?
Spencer could have said a prayer or two.
Okay. How are we doing on time? Okay. All right. Max is going to be leaving us, but Max, we're gonna play the knockout game. Who's taking your spot?
Let's see.
What survivor? What survivor's taking your spot?
Eliza.
Okay, Eliza.
Yeah.
All right, here comes Eliza.
Language.
Can I just say one thing to put in context what Takeo is going through? I'm live tweeting the show. I write something in response to Varner's comment.
Yes.
That, Abby is turning me on.
Yeah.
I get 9 text messages from Abby bitching me out.
Whoa!
I have to explain to her. No, I'm quoting Varner. It was a compliment. Can you imagine starting a beach with this person?
Oh,
for 6
God.
Days?
Context, yeah.
Just think All right. about that for a second.
Yeah, he said that she turns him on. Whoa. How about that?
Like
All right, here's
that.
Eliza. And Eliza, we're just going to ask you to try to keep it at least somewhat family friendly here tonight.
Okay.
So here,
I'll do my best.
So here's Eliza. Do we hear it for Eliza?
Eliza!
Woo! Okay, Eliza, you have been very adamant from the audience tonight that you were here to defend Stephen Fishback. What is it about Stephen?
Team Fishback.
What is it about Stephen?
Fishback out of water.
And Stephen wasn't thrilled with this show last week in terms of how we depicted him.
You guys are jerks.
Ah! Why are we jerks?
Don't criticize our Steven. He's amazing. And he's doing the best that he can.
Of course, of course.
Steven to the max. Of course. And we love him.
And we all love Steven.
100%, of course.
No matter what.
But is it not the spirit of this show in particular to talk about what we see on the show and comment back on it? He's on the list.
Steven is our people.
It doesn't.
And he is still blogging on people.com. Every Thursday. No, I'm just shouting out his work.
He's blogging. Yeah. Steven's
good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what is it about Steven that he has done that you're liking about what his game?
Listen. Steven's got hard.
Hold on. Was it?
Just say Steven. Steven yeah. got put on trial.
Hold on, was it that he was working as closely with the stick last week as you did in Fan Fiction Favorites?
Watched all the crazies like Shireen and Abby Maria, and I love these people. And he watched them paddle away, and he was like, "But those are my people."
Yeah.
I mean, he's on a tribe with fucking Andrew Savage. Sorry, excuse the non-family friendly. I mean, like, he's on a tribe with like Jesus-loving alpha males. Like, these are not his people. Like, what is Steven supposed to do?
He is Jewish.
The best that he can.
Of course.
What he's been given, and I am so proud of him, and I love him.
We all love Steven. We all. Yeah. All right. So, who do you think gets the fishy tomorrow?
Terry Dietz.
Terry, do you think you're calling
it right now? Terry Dietz gets the fishy. Terry, like, who was? Well, Varner could totally get the fishy. That's a good audience. But Terry stepped out of a role that he's used to. Terry did something that he is like, Terry's like not great at like bonding with people. Like, he's great at winning challenges and, you know, alienating. I mean, like, remember how he was with Danielle? Like, I mean, Terry was like not awesome with people on his first season.
No, he was not.
Terry was like, oh, Abby Maria's upset. Let me go to her and like befriend her. And he like really stepped out of his comfort zone and did great. I mean, he was awesome. And I love Terry.
And I love reading your tweets every season on Survivor. Who's the person that is on your bad list? Is it besides Andrew Savage?
It's just Andrew.
Fuck Andrew
Savage. I know this is a family friendly.
Earmuffs.
Don't hashtag that. Hashtag fuck Andrew Savage.
Earmuffs.
Hashtag Team Fishback.
Yes.
I'm gonna get the fishy.
All right,
let me get
an impartial view. What's been your assessment for Steven so far through two episodes?
I mean, I think Steven's getting a little freaky out there. You know.
Why? Why do you say he's freaky?
Like, you know, it was the coconut. Him chopping the coconut and the branches. It just, you know, just.
I was impressed with his machete work this week. That was
the
good.
The coconut.
Okay.
Just really quickly in Fishback's defense, hanging out in the hammock. That was good stuff. He was doing some bonding.
He did. He had some good moments talking about Joe. And I thought that if you're gonna go into the edit, I think that you could say that they showed at one point Steven was looking like he knew what was going on. So that was good. That was a positive moment.
No, I hear what you're saying.
We are looking for acorns wherever we can find them. And that was good. That was a good moment for Steven.
I think he's in a really bad spot in that tribe, but game sense wise, it seems like he knows what's up.
He knows
so
what
this
he's
is a good
about.
He's
with the
facing
swap
a good
coming next week,
exactly.
Steven is gonna be set.
I agree completely.
Anybody
I think he's in a good
bring
spot.
Over is gonna be helpful
well,
to Steven
he could end up back with Andrew. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's all Bayon. It's no good.
He could also end up with Spencer. He could end up with
who knows.
He has a lot of options at Takeo.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So Bryce, that thank you for coming
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
Who's taking your spot?
Well, I think for debate purposes, I think Dan should come up.
Okay,
here.
All right. Dan Foley is here. Dan Foley is here. Okay. All right. Here comes Dan. I've got Dan to our left and Eliza to my right.
I know.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
I'm in a very interesting position physically right now.
Dan, get in here. All right. Dan Foley is here. Dan, how was the edit tonight?
Yeah.
You do a good job with the edit?
Without knowing what happened behind the scenes, I'm not at liberty to comment on such things, but I think it was good for some and not so good for others.
That's a good for others. All right. Dan, were you happy? Did you take glee in Shireen being voted out tonight?
No. No, I. You know something? Just because.
I wish you guys could see my eye roll.
Eliza's eye rolling.
Wow! I will show infinitely more courtesy than you shall, because just because Max was up for it and some of us weren't, I think anybody can learn. Anybody can learn with a second chance.
I feel like there's a however coming.
And this is mine. I do not wish Shireen ill. you know something? She got a second chance. I was hoping she did well only because of loyalty to my own season. Shireen and Joe, they were Worlds Apart members. I wanted to see her do well.
Eliza, are you buying this?
She's about to have a stroke. I know she is.
All right.
Listen, I'm not trying to, you know, start shit on a podcast.
Start stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Start stuff. You know, I'm just saying,
Continue the trash talk. It's all right. Go ahead.
You were sitting right behind me during the episode, and you were like, oh, huge mistake, when they subbed Shireen in for the puzzle, and that's like, she almost came back and won it for them. Like, that's bullshit.
Max, how is Shireen in puzzles, Max?
What am I supposed to say? I don't know.
Max?
Max, you got to be on the microphone. We're doing a podcast.
To be fair, Shireen is the person you sub out of the puzzle.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah.
Disagree. I mean, I think she did an awesome job. She literally almost won the puzzle. It was the fucking... Sorry. God, I'm so bad at this.
I don't know.
It was the...
How do you act in court?
She's facing the wrong direction. They literally almost won. No, I curse this is my job. This is what I do.
We love you all.
Okay.
Thanks, Granny.
Okay. All right. Hold on. I want to get a word in with Dan. So okay. So Eliza, we're gonna tag you out. Okay. Who's taking your spot?
Francesca Hoagie.
Francesca. All right. Here comes Francesca. All right. So Dan, I don't believe you were in there at that moment where Will was going after Shireen, but you certainly lived through it. There were some callbacks to that tonight in the episode. Did you think that there was a parallel to the Abby Maria situation to the Shireen and Will situation from Worlds Apart?
I would think it's foolish to say there wasn't. I mean, it was a complete parallel, but Shireen was on the other side of... She was basically on the side that she complained about. And again,
Because I don't see it the same. Because I feel like what happened in Worlds Apart was I feel like that Will went after Shireen for whatever the circumstances were in that moment. Again, I wasn't there. But he really went after her, where Abby Maria walked into a conversation that was being said about her. It wasn't people directly. It wasn't like PG and Shireen dressed down Abby Maria.
Absolutely.
And I feel like so it was a little bit of not the same thing that happened, even though I think it's not fair to say that Abby Maria doesn't feel hurt in the same way that Shireen feels hurt.
I think the start of the circumstances were different. I agree with you there. But I think the fallout is what the peril. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
And I think that I was not there. Thank God. I was on a confessional.
Yes.
Carolyn was on a confessional. And Will and Rodney came back to camp with the chest. And they looked at Jen and they're like, okay, we're going to have a team meeting back at camp. And Jen's like, oh, hell no. And she got out of there as well. So.
All right. Okay. Franny is here. Now, Franny, of course... Give it up for Franny. Now, Franny, you have certainly seen where things go pear-shaped on one of these all-star seasons where, like, the ball starts rolling. Yes. So what do you do now, once the target starts to get on Shireen, is there anything that she can do to wriggle out of that at that point?
I think Shireen was so screwed. She was so screwed. I mean, she screwed herself, but... I don't think there's anything. I mean, good for her for trying. Good for her for trying with Woo. I don't know what else she could have done. At that point, it was just too late for her. It was just too late. There was nothing to be done.
Going back to Vetus last week, do you have any extra sympathy for Vetus?
I had a lot of sympathy for Vetus. I mean, I think, you know, listen, obviously I have a lot of sympathy for everyone who's voted out first.
Yes.
I generally tweet at them. I'm like, don't worry. Your life's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You're going to come back from this stronger.
Because you also coach people in relationships also. So I feel like that you have like a little bit of like a... Yeah, FrancescaHoagie.com. But I do feel like you do work with people and like in some ways you're sort of like a counselor and a therapist to some people who need this relationship advice. Like do you take that role on? Like do you is that like a nice thing that you get to talk to the people? Or is it like, to reach out, because my heart, I have empathy for anybody who, who goes out early in these games, because I've had, I've experienced both things. Like, I know, like I've experienced like the, like going far and also not going as far. So I do have an empathy for the people that, so for people like Vetus, for people like Shireen, do you actively seek them out, or is it like if they reach out to you, like, but if not, then you really don't?
Oh, well, in the case of Vetus and Shireen, yes. And I mean, Shireen's someone that I've already had contact with, so like, yes, but I mean, not every single season, because some people I'm like, yeah, you suck.
You deserve it.
So I don't automatically love people just because they went out early.
Okay.
Put it that way.
All right. Dan, any parting words?
You guys kept talking about Spencer and similarities between his game. I just found it very ironic that in the very first episode, he kept talking about, I am not going to treat people like chess pieces. And yet, all he talked about was numbers. All he talked about was strat. I thought that was, I don't know, I maybe I was the only one that caught that, but I just thought that was a little disappointing.
It's hard to change who you are.
What do you think of the decision, Dan? You have history with Shireen. The choices, Shireen or Spencer, did the tribe get it right by getting rid of Shireen here?
Strictly from a strategic position, yes, because I think that Spencer is going to be more effective in challenges. And at this point, all you want to do is avoid tribal council. You want to do anything you can to stay away from Jeff.
All right, good advice. Dan, who's taking your spot?
Oh, my fellow Mena. Got to get this guy up here. Come on up.
Who's that?
Snowy.
Snowy,
get up here.
Snowy's a Mena.
Another Mena. Graduated from Greeley High School.
Mainer's going to Maine. Wow, here we go. Oh, my God. I'm so...
It's a Karamoan reunion on stage.
I would have never guessed I'd be surrounded by Survivor Karamoan people tonight. Here we go. Here's Michael Snow. Give it up for Michael Snow. Snowy, what did you think tonight? You had a lot to say about Jeff Varner during the show tonight. Are you you're impressed with Varner so far?
First, I want to say I'm drunk. Thank you, Eric.
Eric Stein. Okay, this is an off-podcast conversation. Okay, yes.
Varner is awesome.
Yes.
Varner is hilarious. He's pulling out the jokes. You know, that's what you need to do out there is be funny, right? You just need to be funny and keeping people like,
what's
that guy saying? Oh, what that guy? He's saying this. Oh, I want to be around him. That's what he's doing, and he's winning.
Do you feel like that...
I think we need to name his tie, though.
Yeah, that's
a
weird,
great
that's a
point.
Weird look. Somebody compared him to Fred Flintstone recently with the cut off.
In fairness, I believe it was Barney Rubble. But
and what's with the tie? Why does he keep putting the tie back on? I haven't seen any survivors putting the tie back on.
I think
it's his calling card.
I think he is incredibly cool. He's hilarious. Purple is like one of my top 11 colors. But that green tie, I mean, seriously, I'm sorry, Jeff. I gotta call you. That has gotta go.
Okay. All right, let's keep the Karamoan thing going, Franny.
Oh, can I tell you something really funny about tonight?
Sure.
Francesca said to me, we were all giggling and drinking our gin and tonics or whatever, and Francesca said, oh my God, but where were you on Survivor? I said, bitch, I slept in the same hut as you.
Is that true? You forgot that Michael Snow was on your season?
I did.
I slept under the top you won, motherfucker.
Even people from Karamoan trying to forget Karamoan.
Yes.
Around Jameson.
Yes.
And... memory fades. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. All right. So let's get Andrea up here.
Yay!
Okay. Here's Andrea. One of our many great Miss Survivors. She's here. All right. Oh my. So it's such a Karamoan reunion tonight. The more Karamoan people are on the stage tonight than at the finale of Survivor Karamoan.
Very true. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Andrea, who has stood out to you so far here in this season? Who are the people that you've liked so far through two episodes?
Kelly Wentworth, for sure.
Yeah.
Kelly Wentworth in the house. No, she's not in the house.
How about her cousin?
But fans are in the house. I feel like her first season, she went through some issues because of her dad, and now it's really her time to shine. And I see a little bit, like, I love Kelly Wentworth because I went through that. My first season, it was, you know, the good Rob.
Mm-hmm. The Boston Rob?
Boston Rob.
The good Rob?
He self-proclaimed the Rob that sucks.
Yes,
right?
That's fine.
I'm offended for my Rob.
You can just say the Rob that doesn't suck. We know
the Rob
that
doesn't suck.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is her season to really shine, and already she found the idol, and she's killing it, so I can't wait to see where she goes this season.
She's my pick.
Yeah.
Wentworth.
You very famously, I felt like, came back and played differently the second time than you played in the first time that you went. Do you see people that you can identify, like, oh, they're definitely trying to change things up then from the first time? Because that was a theme tonight of people that are playing the same and that are not having success with that playing that same game.
Definitely, I feel like the old school survivors come back, and I feel like there's been a big shift. Like the first 10 seasons, everything was about surviving. And now, like, we know, like, Francesca, we're friends now, all right?
We're friends now.
We made amends. I feel like in our season, especially our second season, like, the minute you're on the beach, you start making alliances. And it's crazy. And I feel like the old school survivors didn't experience that. So now they're here, the Varners. Like, they understand, like, oh, wow, there's been a shift. So I feel like this is their season to really actually adapt to where Survivor is now. And again, with Sierra, I'm also like Team Sierra. Sierra, obsessed with Sierra. Sierra and Wentworth, like, I'm really excited for those two girls. And so I can't wait to see where they go.
Okay, I want to take some questions from you guys that we got in. Okay, Josh Spalding, get over here. Get over here, you got a question. All right, here's Josh Spalding. Take some questions from the crowd. Here's Josh. Hey, get up here. I'm holding the mic tonight.
So my question is, what does Muffin think of all this?
I don't know.
No, really, before they obviously have the, I wasn't expecting the switch, you know, maybe the challenge, the tribe switch. But I'm wondering what the, do you think Steven, when they continue to win, was actually beginning to maybe like that tribe? Because if they just keep winning,
what do you guys think?
They're just going to keep winning. They're just going to keep winning. He's not getting voted out, right? I mean, the way they were moving, they weren't going to lose.
I don't know. Josh, what do you think?
Every day is a blessing. Every day away from Jeff. Stay away from Jeff for Steven right now.
So, but do you think that there was anything to that Steven might have been saying, like, hey, this tribe's going to keep winning. Maybe, you know, let's stick together.
I think that there's people on that tribe that he likes. I do. I don't know that there's an let's stick together thing. Because I do think ahead of the game, I think that he was looking at most of the people at Takeo as the people that he feels he can work with. I think that there's a lot of tribe envy over there, and I don't blame him. I think that the Bayon people are, it's a harder group for him to work with.
Okay, here is Allie Lasher. Allie, how are you?
I was told.
Let me introduce you. Allie, sorry about that. Allie, of course, hosts the Real World Road Rules Challenge Rehap Up. Yes. Okay, Allie, what's your question?
I was told I could just tweet my question, and now I'm on the spot. But I made a Goldilocks joke. I said, is Varner playing too hard, or is it just right?
Snowy.
He is playing wonderfully. He really is. He's like, nobody is like spying him as like some kind of mastermind right now. At least that's what we're seeing.
Okay. Matt Huff. We got Matt Huff.
Coming down.
Here we go.
There he is.
And then I'll give me one more name for another question because we're running out of time. Okay. All right, here, hurry up, Matt. Hurry up. This is like, think Price is Right. Hurry up.
Hustle.
All right, here we go. Here's Matt. Okay, question?
So on your second time out, you got stuck on a tribe with 6 people and kind of got the shaft. Is the same thing going to happen to Steven? Is it going to be Rob 2.0?
Yeah, this 6 tribe isn't all it's cracked up to be, the 6-person tribe. He could go wrong, too.
He's at that moment, too, isn't he? You survived up to 3 tribal councils in All-Stars.
I believe it was 4 episodes, Josh. Thank you.
That's a technicality.
So Steven's facing the Rob Cesternino crucible now.
Eventually, in 2 weeks.
He's at the threshold.
In 2 weeks.
Two weeks, that's what we're going to say.
Do you think, Rob, because so much time went on, like there were so many years between the seasons, you think he's trying too hard this time?
I don't know if he's trying too hard. I think that Steven is in a very bad situation, but I also think that Steven is probably internalizing a lot of, oh, everybody looks at me as this person who's an authority on strategy, and I have to make sure I feel like he's putting extra pressure on himself that he should try to not internalize as much and just focus on the here and now and what's going on in the game and not be worried so much about what we're thinking at home about what he's doing. But, easier said than done.
But, Rob, I think that everybody out there has played before. I think everybody is looking at each other as a threat. I mean, when I was out there, like, there were 10 people who had played before, and I was like, they knew what they were doing. If I was out there, I'd be looking at 19 other people who know what they're doing. If you're Keith Nail, I'd still think of you as a threat.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think... Hey, I would too, for many reasons. I think with Steven, you know, these fears you're talking about, Rob, are valid for all the reasons that someone, you know, any of these people who are entering the game, one of these 20 people who are entering the game, they do come to this with baggage, and Steven has that baggage. He hasn't played in a long time. He is baggage. He hasn't played in a long time. It's been several seasons. He is better known for podcasting and blogging right now, and I get the point of, like, he shouldn't obsess over that. But it's a thing that people are looking at, and you have to figure out how to disarm that. And I could say from talking to him the day before the game began, he had not arrived at an answer. And I think it's a complicated question to answer. Steven's a really smart guy. I have faith that he can answer the question, but it's a difficult question to grapple with.
All right, one last question here. We have a person in the audience. Eric is his name. Eric, where are you from, Eric?
I am from New York City.
Eric from New York City is here. Okay, Eric, what's your question?
Okay, so I'm a loose family member of Survivor. I'm the walking personification of a second chance season. It's wonderful for these people, and it's horrifying for these people. This is like a many, many year nightmare for these people. They have been thinking about this every single day, right? So the game is going to be fast, and it's going to be hard. And we've witnessed it here tonight. Several of my closest friends in the world came up on this podium. And the question is, can a leopard change their spots? Or when you play the game again, you're just destined to do exactly what you did the first time.
Andrea, can the leopard change its spots?
Yes. No, definitely. I mean, but maybe that's not the best thing for you. I know my season, the first season I just followed, the second season I was so paranoid. And I feel like my paranoia ruined me. So I think it can, but I mean, what, do you disagree?
I think a leopard can try to change its spots.
I think it can, though. I think it can change its spots, but it might be actually dooming for it.
I agree.
You agree with me?
I do, absolutely.
Dan Foley agrees with Andrea.
Dan Foley agrees already.
Wow.
I just think she looked bad. I'm sorry.
Okay. That makes me look bad.
Josh, can a survivor leopard change its spots?
I think that a survivor leopard can recognize its spots. And I think that it can like, for your, for example, for Andrea, for Cochrane. Cochrane was himself. He was, oh, boo on Cochrane.
Eliza is boo.
No, that's the thing we'll disagree on, Eliza.
I think that Cochrane embraces his himself, sunburn and all, warts and all, and he comes in and he.
Is that a shot at Max?
Warts?
Yeah, Max, you know I love you. I think that he comes in, he knows who he is, he plays into that. I think that you can recognize the qualities about yourself and turn those into strengths. I think that's something that he did that was very terrific in his game.
In the history of returning players on Survivor, how many people have actually played a different game the second time?
Harmony.
And how many people?
Harmony?
Right. And how many people went down to the very same thing that fell them the first time?
A lot. It's a fun season. Thank you, Eric. Thank you. All right. We're gonna start to wrap this up.
I think Tyson's a good example of that, but it took him three times.
Three times. Third time's
the charm. I heard that rumor.
Coming Survivor 36.
Yeah.
Okay. I need a hashtag for this episode of the podcast. What's the hashtag, you guys? No, it's not F Andrew Savage.
Stop.
I don't think you should have swear words.
Snowy, what's the hashtag?
I feel like I have a little bit of power right now.
Yes.
The tie.
Varner's tie.
Name Varner's tie. Hashtag name Varner's tie.
I'm sorry, Rob. I have to defer to Josh.
What is it?
Hashtag name Varner's tie.
Name Varner's tie.
Yeah, let's name his tie.
Like
Fred?
Yeah.
Barney? Yeah.
All right. All right.
Take your pick.
All right. There you go. All right. First off, thanks so much to you guys for coming out here. And this was so much fun tonight.
Thank you, guys.
Such a great, great show. Thanks to all the survivors that have been here. Josh, I know you're getting ready tomorrow morning. You're going to speak with Shireen. Where can people find your interview with Shireen?
That'll be on parade.com, robiswebsite.com/parade. Seek it out.
Okay.
Thank you.
You can follow Josh Wiggler on Twitter as well. He's at Round Howard. I'm at Rob Sesternino. We will have our interview with Shireen as well on Thursday. Plus, we'll be doing our podcast with John Carroll. And then we'll be doing your voicemails over the weekend. Jim Rice will be answering your voicemail. So get those.
That's great.
Yes. Eliza loves Jim Rice.
An alternate universe, the first person voted out of Survivor 31.
Yeah. Yes. Thanks so much to everybody here at Caroline's on Broadway. Who have been fantastic to us and been a very gracious host of the podcast. Anything else?
No, let's wrap it. Let's call it.
Thank you guys so much. It means the world to me that you guys come to these things. We had so much fun.
Isn't it International Podcast Day?
Happy International Podcast Day!
Yeah. It's good stuff.
All right, we're going out after the show. What? Where's Vanessa? What's the name of the place we're going? St. Pat's Bar and Grill. It's not... West 46 between 5th and 6th. Everybody's invited to come on down. Hope you guys can make it. We're going to be there for a while, hopefully tonight. And can't wait. Thanks so much for coming out. I really appreciate it. Love you, Bays.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much.